everywhere together. It's hitting a little too close to home. She's so far gone, but she didn't go far. She was over me before the grass grew back where she used to park her car. She's leaving those same marks in someone else's yard, someone else's arms, right down the road. I never thought she would get down with somebody I know. I guess that's just how it goes when you break up in a small town. I see our friends and they put on a show like they don't want me to know. So they give me the go around. But there's only so many streets, so many lights. I swear it's like I can't even leave my house. Should've known all along you gotta move and move on when you break up in a small town. Sometimes and I see you sitting there with him. And I wanna jump out, I wanna fight, I wanna say that guy, but I can't, it's my fault. And I let her go, I never thought that she would get down with somebody I know. I guess that's just how it goes when you break up in a small town. I see our friends and they put on a show like they don't want me to know. So then give me the go around. But there's only so many streets and so many lights. I swear it's like I can't even leave my house. Should've known all along you gotta move and move on when you break up in a small town.
Wisconsin's home for a huge variety of country favorites. This is Country Legends 24/7.
WIRI 105.5 FM, Wisconsin Rapids.
Shoulder, but I want her that teddy bear. She's got me saying sugar pie, honey, darling, and dear. I ain't seen the Braves play a game all year. I'm gonna get fired if I don't get some sleep. My long lost buddies say I'm getting. She sits down on the sofa, she'll move a little closer, she can't.
wanna slip off with me again. Why should we go round and round the truth like we've been doing? Every time we like her, we're losing. So why should we spend Saturday night alone? And I can call you on the phone, pick you up, make it up as we go along. Pulling all night or chasing that desire. Sparks flying in her eyes like lighters. Get a little higher, sipping on fire. You act like you don't know what you're missing. Every time you end up back with him, is it safe? And you're scared of everything you're feeling when we're burning the midnight down again. Why should we go round and round the truth like we've been doing? Every time we lie, girl, we're losing. So why should we spend Saturday night alone? And I can call you on the phone, pick you up, make it up as we go along. Pulling all night or chasing that desire.
Then one sunny day, saw the old man's face. Front page obituary, he was a millionaire. He left his fortune to some guy he barely knew. His kids were mad as hell, but me, I'm doing well. And I drive by today to just say thanks and pray. And I left a six pack right there on his grave. And I said, God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy. God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy. God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy.
But 22, I think at the time, I'd been out on the road, lonely at night, and it'd been a while, so it was on my mind. Well, I saw him walk in with his cowboy hat, and I thought to myself, I could use some of that. His boots like glass on a sawdust floor, had moves like nothing I'd ever seen before. So I walked right up, and I pulled him to the side. I handed that man a beer, and looked him in the eyes. And I said, baby, I think you're gonna wanna hear this. Then I told him, excuse me, you look like you love me. You look like you want me to want you to come on home.
Joint with a few of the guys, when this cute little country girl caught my eye. And boy, let me tell you, she was the prettiest thing I'd ever seen in a pair of boots. Well, she walked right up to me, handed me a beer, gave me a look like, let's get out of here. And that's when I realized that she was every cowboy's dream come true. She told me this right here. She said,
excuse me, you look like you love me. You look like you want me to want you to come on home. And baby, I don't blame you for looking me up and down across this room. I'm drunk and I'm ready to leave. And you look like you love me. I could use some of that. Don't waste your time. Just give him this here line. Goes a little like this. Excuse me. You look like you love me. You look like you want me to want you to come on home. And baby, I don't blame you for looking me up and down across this room. I'm drunk. You look like you love me. I'm drunk and I'm ready to leave.
Wisconsin, and on the free Civic Media app. 105.5 FM, WIRI, Nakusa. Your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to laugh and sing a sleighing song tonight. Take a ride, and soon Miss Fanny Bright was seated by my side. The horse was leaning lank, misfortune seemed his lot. We got into a drifted bank, and then we got upside. Whoa, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
Recent data shows that while many Asian Americans excel at academics, they're no more likely to end up in top management or professional careers. One factor? The so-called bamboo ceiling.
We have been thinking about the overachievement of Asian Americans in the educational domain. And how does that translate into the labor market? What we saw shocked us.
Then, what leads to binge drinking among young people? An expert says it may be the need for social acceptance.
They are drawn to this positive image of people in their environment that drink and the positive responses that they will get if they drink with their friends.
Those two stories and more are coming your way on this week's show. Stay tuned. InfoTrack begins right after this.
I got a line.
He got a line.
She got a line.
We got four lines. Cricket Nation. Cue finger guns. Really easy. Super stress-free. 5G so fast. Like blazing fast. Games and memes. You'll have a blast. You can get fast 5G across four lines. You can get fast 5G across four lines. As we discuss, take it from us. We four are one. Cricket Nation.
And only $25 a line. Welcome to more lines. Welcome to Cricket Nation. Smile. You're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G requires a compatible device and is not available everywhere. Discount varies by line. Fees may apply. Terms and restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
Homeownership. At Progressive, we know it's part of the American dream. It's sea to shining sea and water damage as far as the eye can see.
It's America.
It's freshly mowed grass and a fence that was freshly vandalized by a pack of unruly teens.
It's America.
It's also around-the-clock protection when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, which can help keep the American dream of homeownership alive and kicking. Get a quote at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Stirring fiber, exercising, frequent trips to the store for more laxatives and fiber. Sounds like your constipation with belly pain is a lot to manage. But if your symptoms that keep coming back are signs of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C, ask your doctor how Linzess can help you get ahead of it. Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
A recent study suggests that Asian Americans face barriers when trying to climb the career ladder at work. And here to explain is the lead author of the study, Van C. Tran, Associate Professor of Sociology at Columbia University in New York. Van, let's begin with how you gathered the information for this research. What was the source of your data?
We began by thinking about how we could collect a large enough sample of Asian Americans who were born in the U.S. It turns out it's not an easy thing to do because the census has stopped asking the parental birthplace question, which means that you cannot uniquely identify those who were born in the U.S. to foreign-born parents. And the only data source that we have that allow us to do this is the current population survey, which is conducted by the census every month. And we had to hone a decade of data in order to identify enough Asian Americans for each of the 5 ethnic groups that we looked at: Chinese, Indians, Vietnamese, Filipinos, and Koreans. Because Asian Americans are only 6.4% of the total U.S. population.
So your findings were that even though Asian Americans graduate from the university at far higher rates than white Americans, despite that, they're no more likely to hold professional or managerial jobs. Did this surprise you, or did you kind of expect this result?
That was actually the most surprising finding in our study. And the reason we decided to look at labor market outcomes among Asian American professionals was precisely because we have been thinking about the overachievement of Asian Americans in the educational domain. And we were thinking, well, how does that educational credential translate into the labor market? And in fact, we were expecting to find significant advantages among Asian Americans over whites. And that shocked us because what we saw was that except for the Chinese Americans, who are 1.5 times more likely than white to be in a professional occupation, controlling for age and gender and region of the country, and of course the education, the other 4 Asian groups are only as likely as white to achieve such a position. And in fact, for Filipinos and Vietnamese, 2 of the slightly less disadvantaged groups in our sample, they are as likely as blacks to achieve a professional position, despite the fact that they are extremely more likely to be getting a BA degree or more compared to blacks.
Most of our listeners have heard the term glass ceiling, which refers to the barrier faced by women trying to climb the ladder, but this phenomenon is apparently known as the bamboo ceiling. I had never heard that term before. Is that well known in the Asian community, or is that something that's been newly created?
It is a real term among Asian Americans because many of us have felt that for one reason or another, we often face some very subtle barriers in the labor market. And over the last 5 years or so, there have been several qualitative studies by colleagues of ours who has identified ways in which Asian Americans professionals seem to have been excluded.
We're talking with Van C. Tran, Associate Professor of Sociology at Columbia University, who is lead author of a recent research into the barriers faced by Asian Americans in the workplace. Well, let's talk about some of the factors that might explain Asian Americans' lack of career progress, which you touch on a little bit. Could you talk about some of the factors, the underlying causes?
We think that there are three important reasons why we are observing the findings that we have seen. The first is potential negative stereotypes against Asian Americans, which include Asian Americans being very hardworking, but not very outgoing, being very, very diligent, but not very assertive, and lacking in leadership potentials. Some of these stereotypes are, you know, applicable to some extent, possibly, to what we call the first generation Asian Americans, people like me, who were born and raised outside of the U.S. But remember, in our paper, we're looking at the children of Asian American immigrants, and therefore, you know, the questions of language and culture are no longer part of the consideration, which is why it's all the more surprising. So I think some of the negative stereotypes persist in the workplace. The second reason, I think, has to do with the potential exclusion of Asian Americans from what we call informal social networks in the workplace. People are naturally inclined to be drawn to other people like them who share some important aspects of their identity, be it gender or race or class, or share intellectual interest or athletic interest. And I think in this way, some Asian American professionals might be very busy finishing up a PowerPoint presentation at their desk, but was not asked or were less likely to go out to the happy hour where some of this informal bonding happens. And over time, cumulatively, they are less likely to basically be part of what we call the formal network of the workplace. And the third reason, I think, is the lack of mentorship for the younger generation of Asians, because there's so few Asian American professionals at the top of the organizational and structural hierarchy in the workplace. Because if we were to have more of those at the top, they will be understanding of the difficult and unique challenges that the young Asian American professionals might face and might be more effective in helping.
Van, this is just observational, and there's no research I'm speaking from, but it seems like there are many Asian Americans who have become solo entrepreneurs in the U.S. Perhaps they're running a store or they're running a small business. Do you think this may tie into your research and that large corporations may not hold the same opportunities as owning your own business?
That's a great observation, and I think there are two ways to think about that. First of all, we know from at least two decades of research in migration that the first generation Asian Americans from certain ethnic backgrounds like Korean Americans are very much more likely to open businesses, often in Black and disadvantaged neighborhoods, and they are often known as the middleman minorities. They are operating in these neighborhoods and they have some financial resources to operate the business. The second possibility is actually much more likely, even though I have no evidence of it. And that has to do with the fact that some of them, the second generation, might have chosen to pursue a more entrepreneurial direction precisely because they felt that that would allow them the freedom and the advancement that they seek but might not have found during their time working in the mainstream economy. That is extremely possible, and I hope that future research can look into that in more details.
Van C. Tran, Associate Professor of Sociology at Columbia University in New York. Professor, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Next, the hidden trigger for binge drinking by college students. That story, straight ahead.
There's more InfoTrack coming up. Stay tuned.
Home ownership. At Progressive, we know it's part of the American dream. It's the land of the free and the home of student drivers ready to back into your new fence at any given time.
It's America.
It's firing up a round of burgers and dogs on your rusty grill with a faulty gas line that engulfs your tool shed in flames.
It's
also round-the-clock protection when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, which can help keep the American dream of homeownership alive and kicking.
America.
Get a quote at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Let's face it, winter can be a hard season. It's cold pretty much all the time. Blizzard. You have to shovel. Another blizzard. You slip on ice. But you know what makes winter suck a little less? Getting a free phone. Join Cricket Nation and get a free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G. Ooh, ouch. Welcome to enjoying more. Welcome to Cricket Nation. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G is not available everywhere. Must open a new line on the $60 unlimited plan. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Fees, terms, and other restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Overconsumption of alcohol by underage and college-age students is a real concern. But what are the factors behind this behavior? One might be the basic need to fit in and be accepted by others. With this story, here's InfoTrack's Gina Tedesco. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. A new study has researchers calling for a new way for universities to fight the problem of underage drinking and smoking. The researchers at Michigan State University say they've discovered the best indicator for whether new college students will tend to drink or smoke. Joining us now is Associate Professor Dr. Nancy Rhodes, the study's lead author. Professor, what was that best indicator of students' tendencies?
The best indicator in terms of the social environment is the perception that peers will approve of drinking or smoking. The other strong indicator is also attitudes. So when those two things go together, when you have positive attitudes towards drinking and smoking, and you think your friends will approve of it, then you're highly likely to say that you're going to drink and smoke in the future. And we see that they indeed go on to drink and smoke in the future.
Were students open about feeling pressured to drink or smoke?
That's an interesting question. The way we take our measures is through a reaction time procedure. So we have them in front of a computer and they get prompts that ask them if their friends approve of a wide range of behaviors. And embedded in those are various behaviors related to drinking and smoking. And what we find is that what matters is how quickly they can tell us that their friends approve. Why this matters is that when you ask teenagers, young adults, if they are influenced by their peers to engage in behaviors like this, they almost always will say no, because in our society, we value independence and we don't want to seem like we're following the crowd. So if you ask them straight out, they will say no. And that's the advantage of doing these kinds of reaction time measures that get at more of the underlying beliefs. And they can't censor that because of the desirability of responding that way.
So they think they're making independent choices, but are they aware of how much they're influenced by peer pressure?
I think not. They don't want to admit it to themselves, and they certainly don't want to admit it to researchers. And so they have this concept in their mind of what's the outcome if they drink or smoke with their friends. And so that is represented as a result of past behaviors and things that people have said and observing other people. And that representation, I think, is something that draws them to act in that way rather than a sense of being pressured to act in that way. They are drawn to this positive image of the people in their environment that drink and the positive responses that they will get if they drink with their friends.
To bring home the seriousness, can you quantify or at least characterize the extent of assaults and accidental deaths resulting from drinking by college students?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of data over a long period of time of the devastating effects of alcohol to some students. And I think that overall, college campuses are healthier when fewer students are drinking to excess. And I think that that's the impetus for a lot of efforts that have been made to try to reduce college student drinking. And over the past decade or so, it has come down some. The latest data that I saw indicate that maybe it's ticking up again. And that's why I think we need new ways of trying to address it. Over the past 10 years, there's been an emphasis to what's called social norms marketing. So they will let students know that the majority of students at your university only drink two or three drinks when they go out. And so that's what we call a descriptive norm. It describes the prevalence of the behavior. And there's been some success with that. It hasn't been as overwhelming a success as it was hoped to be at first. And my research shows that the reason is that when students are trying to decide whether to drink or smoke, they're not thinking about those prevalence data. The descriptive norm is not part of the decision to drink in the future. It's this injunctive norm or this approval that is linked to the decision to drink or smoke in the future.
We've heard a lot about hazing on college campuses. Does living in a fraternity or sorority make you more likely to abuse alcohol?
My data didn't directly address this in this particular study, but yes, the fraternity environment, the sorority environment is usually characterized by lots and lots of drinking and lots of approval for drinking. And I think that that's a case where there may be direct pressure to drink. I think if you're in a frat and you're not drinking, that you may be subjected to some criticism from your peers.
We're visiting with Michigan State University Associate Professor Dr. Nancy Rhodes, lead author on a study of college students drinking. You say that other college students must be the ones delivering the message that drinking or smoking is not cool and you don't have to do them to be accepted. Do you have a sense of what that kind of intervention might involve?
There hasn't been a lot of work on this that I'm aware of. We've looked at it in the context of risky driving behavior when teenagers, 16-year-olds, first get their driver's license and they're going off driving places with their friends as passengers. We have found that it's often the case that the friends are less enthusiastic about risky driving than is communicated in the car. And so I'm extrapolating from that when I say that I believe that that probably happens with drinking and smoking as well. There tends to be a culture of risk among young people, that risky behaviors tend to be glorified. They tend to get a lot of attention. They tend to be talked about a lot in sort of laughing kinds of ways that are perceived as being approval. And I think that sometimes that laughing way of talking about it is maybe a little bit critical, but students, young people don't feel comfortable coming out and saying, wow, it really made me mad that you made this mess in the hall of our dorm when you came home drunk. And so where I think the adults in the room can have an effect is by creating a context in which those voices of the people who are annoyed by drinking, the people who are not drinking and don't want to be in that environment, I think that the adults can create a climate where they are able to voice their opinions more. And I think that would provide more of a balanced message to students that, you know what, not everybody thinks it's cute when you come home very drunk, and we would just prefer that you didn't. I think when that message comes from students themselves, it has the ability to change that culture, or to at least begin to change the perceived social approval of drinking.
Might a program like Alcoholics Anonymous, but led by students, be a benefit?
I haven't thought of it in those terms. I think you're onto something. I think some kind of group discussion, opportunities for groups to talk about healthy drinking, healthy behaviors, healthy ways to have fun is a way to go. I think that's one of the things that they're doing at Michigan State, is trying to publicize ways to have fun that don't involve drinking. And I think that's a great way to go. And I think those kinds of ways to organically allow students to talk about things that involve not drinking, I think, would be very helpful.
Dr. Nancy Rhodes, Michigan State University Associate Professor, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
Last year's RV trip, we met a couple with the same bumper sticker. What are the odds?
Your cousin isn't a good storyteller.
He was a podiatrist, or was it a pharmacist?
Huh, you don't say.
Oh, I can't remember.
But she owns an RV protected by Progressive, and you don't. So until you get your own RV, her stories are the most interesting stories you've ever heard.
Wow, interesting.
And when you do get your own RV, save money by bundling it with your home, auto, or other vehicles with Progressive.
Oh, anesthesiologist. He was an anesthesiologist.
Progressive Casualty
right.
Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
I got a line.
He got a line.
She got a line.
We got four lines. Cricket Nation. Cue finger guns. Really easy. Super stress-free. 5G so fast. Like blazing fast. Games and memes. You'll have a blast. You can get fast 5G across four lines. You can get fast 5G across four lines. As we discuss, take it from us. We four are one. Cricket Nation.
And only $25 a line. Welcome to more lines. Welcome to Cricket Nation. Smile. You're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G requires a compatible device and is not available everywhere. Discount varies by line. Fees may apply. Terms and restrictions apply. See cricketwireless.com for details.
You might think the worst air pollution is found on a city street, but the air inside your home may be just as polluted. With more, here's InfoTrack's Roy Mackey. Roy?
Thank you, Chris. Marina Vance is an assistant professor of mechanical engineering at the University of Colorado Boulder, and she was the lead author of the study. So, Marina, you were looking at indoor air quality and the pollutants we all have in our homes. What are some of the most common causes of pollution indoors?
Many types of activities can lead to indoor air pollution. What we're finding so far, and the focus of our study, was on these activities we perform every day, cooking and cleaning, for example. Cooking and cleaning can lead to high levels of indoor air pollutants in the home if the home is not properly ventilated while you're performing these activities. The types of air pollutants that are emitted during cooking and cleaning events can be very different amongst themselves. It depends on the kind of cleaning and the kind of cooking, of course.
And the most frightening headline that I saw from your study is that the average home's indoor air quality levels are on par with a polluted major city. Is that right?
Yes, to some extent. So what we found, and previous studies have also found this, is that whenever we start cooking in our homes, the levels of particulate matter or particles that are suspended in the air can reach extremely high levels. And those are on par with very polluted cities if you compare them just on a basis of what's the concentration of particulate matter in the air. I wouldn't say that during the entire time, the average air quality in homes is as bad as a polluted city. Once we start cooking and doing these activities in the home, if we don't ventilate properly, yes, then these levels can reach very high concentrations.
In fact, I understand that things were so bad that you had to recalibrate the instruments you were using to measure the pollutants. Is that right?
Well, that was an interesting part of our study. We had a collaboration with many atmospheric chemists. So these folks have been doing research outdoors for many, many years, and some of them had never done research indoors. So then they had calibrated their instruments expecting higher concentrations indoors and outdoors. But then once we started performing these activities, these simple everyday activities like cooking breakfast or, you know, mopping your floors, they found that they had to recalibrate their instruments because they were just not used to these levels. Their instruments are very, very sensitive, and they're used to using them in very dilute situations in outdoor air quality studies.
From a health standpoint, why should we all be concerned so much about this?
We should be concerned about indoor air quality because that's where we spent about 90% of our time. Studies have found that no matter how much we like to say that we're outdoorsy and we like to spend time outdoors, really, we spend most of our time indoors. If you just think about it, a third of your life is spent sleeping in your bedroom. So the level of exposure or the amount of time that you spend indoors is very important because that's where you're going to be exposed to pollutants for the majority of your time. So not only understanding concentrations and levels, but going beyond that and really trying to understand the chemistry of the air and the surfaces inside your home and how that can dictate the transport and transformations of air pollutants inside the home is very, very important for that perspective.
It sounds like many homes don't have good ventilation, but what advice can you offer to homeowners to try to deal with this?
That's an ongoing question in the scientific community. How can we limit our exposures? We found that air quality indoors from the perspective of some air pollutants is actually all right for the majority of the time until we start performing these activities that introduce a lot of air pollutants into our homes, like cooking and cleaning. But how can we reduce those levels? We always recommend ventilating the home. That in itself can be a very complicated question to answer. Opening windows may or may not be effective. Using the exhaust hood in your kitchen, if it works really well and if it actually exhausts to outdoors, which the majority of them do not, using the exhaust hood is very important anytime you're cooking, especially if you use a gas stove, because when you have a gas stove and you have a combustion source indoors, that can lead to very high concentrations of a variety of air pollutants. So the advice I can give to people on their everyday lives is to try to ventilate your home as much as possible. If you have a gas stove and you have the opportunity to switch for an electric stove, that's a great idea. If you have a good functioning exhaust hood, please try to use it as much as possible whenever cooking and try to ventilate whenever cleaning.
Good advice from Professor Marina Vance from the University of Colorado Boulder. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
And that's it for this week's show. Our internet services are provided by Pear Networks, the home of world-class web hosting. InfoTrack's executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm Chris Whitting. We hope you'll join us right here next week for another edition of InfoTrack.
Gotta fly, fly. biggest bottle they got, 'cause you're gone. Drop the needle on the vinyl and cry to an old haggard song. Sitting at the table, baby, breaking the seal. Gonna see how much of this pain I can kill.
Country Legends 24/7. WIRI.